Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
A tentative deal on the Hollywood writers' strike, plus the unintended consequences of sanctions on Russians using Bitcoin. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Hollywood Writers Guild is calling a proposed 3-year contract agreement exceptional, but writers and actors will stay on strike until they can get a look at the deal and decide how to vote on it, Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
The Writers Guild of America says it won, quote, meaningful gains and protections for writers. The union had been seeking improvements in pay, higher minimum number of writers working on shows, and protections on the use of artificial intelligence to create script material. For now, the two sides are finalizing contract language. The WGA expects to release details about the agreement in the coming days. The tentative deal will need to be ratified by members, though in the previous strike in 2008, more than 90% did approve the deal reached by their union representatives. In the meantime, writers can stop picketing, but the union cautions that they remain on strike as they have been since May 2nd. As for striking actors, who are also concerned about pay, the shift to streaming, and AI, there's no deal or negotiations yet. SAG-AFTRA, which represents them, said it's looking forward to reviewing the writers' agreement. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
This week, the Senate Banking Committee is set for a hearing on a bill to allow banks to serve the cannabis industry. Federal law prohibits that now, which makes life harder for cannabis businesses and customers in states that have legalized. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has that.
Dr. Shonda Macias owns a medical marijuana dispensary in Washington, D.C. If you want to buy cannabis, gummies, or edibles from her, you need cash. Macias can't take credit or debit cards. She can't find a bank to process the payments. That's because marijuana is still illegal under federal law. Macias says marijuana business owners like her have to do everything in cash, even making tax payments.
We have to set up an appointment and send people with thousands of dollars to an IRS facility.
The Secure and Fair Enforcement Regulation, or SAFER Banking Act, would ensure that owners of legal cannabis businesses in states where marijuana is legal can access banking services like credit card processing and loans. Julie Hill teaches law at the University of Alabama.
It would also provide a clear indication from Congress to bank regulators that they want there to be banking in this space.
Hill says banks would still have to certify their marijuana business customers were obeying state laws, for example, not selling to minors or growing without a permit. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
International sanctions against Russia target both traditional financial instruments and digital currencies like Bitcoin. The crypto rules try to prevent people moving wealth into and out of Russia. And last year, the EU moved to stop Russians elsewhere in Europe from using cryptocurrency. But this is a blunt instrument. Levi Bridges reports.
After Russia invaded Ukraine, Olga Shkolina fled to the EU with her teenage daughter. Shkolina is an activist from northern Russia and left to avoid persecution from Russia's government. Shkolina landed safely in Poland, but the move complicated her financial life.
It's impossible to make a transfer from a Russian bank to a European one.
Shkolina says her ex-husband in Russia couldn't send her child support for their daughter because Western sanctions cut off Russian banks. So he started sending Shkolina the payments using cryptocurrency, which is decentralized, not connected to a bank. Shkolina would then convert her crypto into cash through what's called a crypto exchange.
They sent me a message saying that the transaction was blocked because of suspicious activity.
But Shkolina says last winter, those crypto child support payments were blocked. Russians like her were suddenly booted off major crypto exchanges after new EU sanctions took effect. The sanctions greatly affect Russian citizens like Shkolina, who live in the EU. The goal is to stop sanctioned Russians from finding loopholes to move money out of Russia to the West. But it turns out, within Russia, crypto can flow relatively freely.
It is still fairly easy to move rubles to different cryptocurrencies and vice versa.
Adam Zarazinsky is CEO of the cryptocurrency analytics company Inca Digital. He says people living in Russia can still convert rubles into crypto through certain exchanges. And some people have even used crypto to support Russia's war against Ukraine.
A number of pro-Russian groups have raised crypto assets to the tune of $20 million.
Arda Akartuna tracks Russian groups that help fund the war with crypto. He's an analyst with Elliptic. He says the problem is smaller crypto exchanges can still do business within Russia. Western lawmakers have been cracking down on some exchanges, but plenty of crypto is still getting through that funds Russia on the battlefield. And ironically, the crypto sanctions are having a large effect on Russian anti-war activists. Again, crypto analyst Adam Zarazinsky.
Unfortunately, Russians that are leaving Russia and against the war are getting swept up in the mix.
Many are living in Europe now after fleeing Russia. But the simple fact of them being Russian means their crypto wallets are now blocked. I'm Levi Bridges for Marketplace.
And plastic uses oil, Lego uses plastic, and the Danish toy maker had been testing bricks made from recycled bottles. The news is the sustainability math doesn't work. The recycled bricks put more climate-altering carbon into the atmosphere than fresh bricks when the full product life cycle is taken into account. A pound of new ABS plastic generates 2 pounds of carbon, and Lego is now looking for ways to lower that ratio. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. We are from APM, American Public Media.